it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Good evening. The show tonight has a piece of history. Nuclear war in the movies. Rated by an article at The Bulletin for scientists who are worried about atomic weapons, have been since the 20th century. Good to worry. Peter Husey of the National Deterrence Institute guided me to the piece, and we talked about them since we're both 20th century educations. The number one overall, taking everything, Dr. Strangelove. Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove, with Peter Sellers in several roles. Sterling Hayden as the mad commander of the airbase that launches the attack. Slim Pickens is the pilot of the B-52 that eventually delivers a nuclear weapon. A wonderful cast. I learned from reading about it that it was mostly spontaneous. They rewrote the script every day, rewrote their lines. There were several coincidences. One, that it was scheduled to open the weekend that was the tragedy in Dallas with the death of the president. And so they very late changed the line when Slim Pickens says a man could have a good time in, shoot, a man could have a good time in. The original line was Dallas. They changed it to Vegas because of the tragedy. Other details, the interior of the B-52 was entirely made up. That was a secret in those days. But the reason the movie does so well with those who know about nuclear war, it doesn't make fun of nuclear war. It accepts the fact that it's so completely over the top. A 20-megaton bomb or two 20-megaton bombs or 10,000 bombs. That there's no denying it. There's no dealing with it. You just have to sit back and accept the absurdity of it as a weapon. Since that movie was made in the 1960s, 63 was the release date, there's a large question about whether nuclear weapons are a weapon at all, not just an act of terror, self-destruction, suicide, for a civilization, for a culture, for a city, for a peoples. And there's been no nuclear weapon used in anger since 1945. And that's a good record, and that's why Peter and I discuss it each week. I also discuss with Henry Sikorsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. The speculation is that the reason so much of the nuclear horrors of the 20th century are not present today is that the younger people have not been educated the way we were, didn't go through the idea of ducking under your desk when the blast comes. A lot of futile gestures as we were learning about nuclear weapons. So Peter and I talk about it. We're going to talk some more because there was a long list and we only got to a few of them. The two horror ones from the 80s. One called Threads, made about the destruction of England, and the other called The Day After, made in America, about the destruction of the Midwest with mushroom clouds over the silos of the Triad U.S. Air Force. There's more to say about nuclear weapons all the time. Hasn't much been in the news because only when Putin threatens a nuclear weapon does it get a headline. Otherwise, the presumption is they will not be used unless, and there's always that unless, which is what the fighting in Iran or the bombing in Iran is about, the unless. It's a topic that's endless, as you'll discover if you take it up. It has its own language. And the language all points to, don't use this. It's not a weapon. It doesn't advance anything. It's a complete surrender to chance, to fortuna, to the end. Would we recover from nuclear exchange? Yes. We people would, but it would not be the same for quite some time, if ever. There would be an event that was discontinuous with Mother Nature, created by war and launched by, well, I don't know what the mindset would be to launch it. Peter and I will talk about that. We're going to deal with the English horror movie Sheffield. It's called Threads, about the destruction of a working class city in England by attacks in the 1960s. An exchange of the Soviets and the Americans, and the English caught in between. Mushroom clouds over working class England, and everybody descends into savagery and looking for food and dying of radiation and crawling over the bricks because there's no house that stands. And they stay where they were born. They don't go anywhere else because it's all savagery. It ends with a savage note. There's more to the show tonight, but it doesn't point away from nuclear weapons. It points toward them. The information from the administration that the Iranians are moving equipment and material into the Pickaxe Mountain, the unbombable site that is believed to be the next stop for the suspect nuclear weapons program for Iran. I'm not quite sure they can build such a thing. They've lost a lot of engineers and technicians who know how to, but in any event, they're letting the administration, the Trump administration, see them move into a space that we cannot reach from the air, we're told. More exchange of fire between the two warring parties about infrastructure, and Iran is attacking its neighborhood. The twist tonight, the turn of the screw, was that the Houthis have announced that they're closing the Red Sea and the Bab el-Mandeb with their weaponry. Now they're asserting they have. They haven't actually shut it, but it certainly discourages shipments coming out of oil, chiefly because that's how the Saudis get their oil out, through the Red Sea, to the Suez Canal, or through the Red Sea to the south, to the Bab el-Mandeb. There was talk of a 10-day interruption in the gunfire for negotiation. The late headline is that that's been set aside because of the new Houthi offensive. In Ukraine, late news is that Zelensky has fired his general-in-chief, head of the army, as was predicted yesterday by many pundits, including my colleague John Hardy. So now the defense minister is gone and the commander-in-chief is gone. There's only Zelensky. This is not encouraging for the stability of the front. Certainly Putin has his problems as well, and I'll talk about them to Michael Bernstam tomorrow. The middle class is suffering rationing for petrol, shortages. It's warfare, embargo, blockade. I do have time this evening to talk about something else besides war, but it does tend to dominate the conversation, always. I spend time about the American economy with Liz Peek and Mary Kissel. I talk about diplomacy with Mary Kissel and why it's not present in the Middle East. I talk to Joe Sternberg about the Chinese economy, which is in very bad shape, probably recession shape. And the Chinese Communist Party will not answer it because they would have to give up control. Gregory Copley joins for a conversation about the new British government, Mr. Burnham, and expectations, especially when regard to defense. Tommy Atkins. Tommy this and Tommy that and Tommy how's your soul, but it's savior of the country when the trooper's on the roll. Rudyard Kipling's song to professional soldiers answering the call at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. Tommy Atkins. Then a conversation also about Canada and the enmity between Washington and Ottawa, and is this the end of NORAD, the question asked. Thaddeus McCotter and I discussed the midterms and the price of oil, price of gasoline, which is more determinative than war fighting. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. I hope to get away from war, but not easily. Too many wars, too little time. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.